Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandy Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Imagine finding out that 500 children became quite ill after visiting their pediatric dental practice and all becoming infected by contaminated water lines. Well, that is the story behind a landmark case in Anaheim, and it's one of the reasons why Landon Hilliard, who I have on today's podcast from DentistSafe, keeps on beating the drum and talking to people about having clean water lines in your dental practices. More than 80% of current dentists do not test their water lines, which when you think about it, it's pretty gnarly. And there's only 2 states in the entire country that actually require waterline testing. Every time you slurp and spit back into those waterlines that are sucking your saliva out of your mouth, you want to hope that those lines are clear of bacteria and also clear of any other residue left by the patient before you. It's probably not something you often think about and you just take it for granted. Also, you could be getting sprayed with water that has bacteria in it, not just as a patient, but also as a team member and a doctor. Water sprays everywhere, and we often don't see it or even think about it because you usually don't see the water spray coming off. And it just really blows my mind when we talk about this stuff because dentistry is still a little behind the times when it comes to waterline safety. And, you know, not that long ago, most people weren't wearing gloves in the dental office either. So these are things that we really need to start taking into consideration. And it's not a sexy topic, especially for a podcast, but it is one that I think is so important to talk about because no one's talking about it. And it's something that is really important within dental offices. And something that's also as equally important is to consider, it doesn't always have to be the doctor that's doing it. Although the doctor or the owner needs to definitely lead the charge, you can have someone on your team be that safety expert when it comes to waterline safety. A great candidate is usually dental assistants, who Landon often cheerleads for and encourages to get really involved in this level of dental safety and care. Landon's also just a really cool dude. I really love running into him at events and connecting with him. He's up to all kinds of really cool stuff. We chat about it briefly on today's episode, but he flies planes, he's a beekeeper, he's an all-around handy guy. He knows a lot about tech and IT, and he also is quite passionate about clean water lines in dental offices. Please enjoy this not-so-sexy conversation, but one that I feel is incredibly important and pertinent for everyone's safety, not just the patient, but also you as team member and doctor. Landon, welcome to the Real Talk of Dental. I am really excited to have this conversation with you today because when we met almost 1 year ago, I learned so much from you, particularly around the dirty water crisis in the dental industry, which quite honestly, I didn't know much about. And I figured if I wasn't too informed on it, many others are not as well. And I know this is a real big passion for you in educating doctors and team members on how we can safeguard our patients and ourselves with the water that we use in our dental offices. And I don't usually ask people to tell me who they're with or what they do or give their pitch or anything like that on this podcast, but I do feel like it's important for you to do that because I feel as if it's something that not a lot of people people know about. So share with all of us, who are you? Who do you work for? And what is it that y'all do inside the dental industry?
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you bringing me on. My name is Lyndon Hilliard. I work for a company called DentistSafe Premium Water Testing. And really our mission is to inform the offices or the dentist about their water, what they have in their water lines, what they can do to treat them. Our goal is really the knowledge to practice in a safe environment. You know, water is something that they use more than probably anything else in the dental office. And so if we can go above and beyond to show them that they have safe water that they're using to treat with their patients, that's really our end goal. We were founded by a dentist, and so that's his heart. He didn't want products to muddy kind of the results or anything like that. He solely wanted to give a resource to other clinicians, his peers, that they could really be able to trust that the results are what they should be and that we do have clean water and that they're treating with confidence behind that. So that's kind of very high level of what DentistSafe's mission is about. It's really just the knowledge that we can give to the dentist.
Yeah. And you all like actually do the testing. Is that right? So you are, Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things I learned from you, which I found amazing, is that there's only two states that actually require water testing, and over 80% of dental offices do not test their water. And I found that to be shocking, but also not at the same time, because many of us just take for granted the water that we're using is clean. And so one, that like the water that we're using is clean, and then also not really understanding how the suction works or where all the water gets sprayed and things like that when someone's using water. And I know you and your team made a pretty graphic video to really show the impact of spraying water when you are working inside of a patient's mouth. And granted, a lot of people have on their, you know, protections, you know, glasses, smocks, whatever. But it's not just that. It's like it's literally spraying all over computers and various things inside the room that most people aren't even considering. And I mean, I've been in so many offices and there are teams that are very, very cautious about, you know, sanitizing things and infection control and things like that. And some offices are a little more loose with that. And it really is probably an impact of leadership, priorities, people way too busy to think about these things or do these things. So tell me a little bit more about why this isn't a requirement. Why has this not become something that is just as common as anything else when it comes to infection control?
Yeah, so, you know, Washington State was really the first one to dive into requiring water tests. And then we had some outbreaks after that. There was some before that as well. And then we had Maryland start putting something in place in the legislative level. And then you had Georgia just recently require it to all the dentists as well. And so really Washington State and Georgia are the main ones that have kind of blazed the trails, if you will, of water testing. And we do have some states that adhere to the CDC's guidelines, and that requires them to do some sort of testing. Now, the requirement is very loose, but really at its core, it's about knowledge, I think. You know, in dental school, they weren't really taught, dentists weren't taught about how these water lines can be contaminated or what biofilm is and biosludge and how the bacteria really form. And, you know, a lot of dentists have a great schedule. They're off on Fridays. So you have Thursday afternoon that they are off and then they come back on Mondays. And so that water has just been stagnant for the whole weekend. Now, if you're like me, I probably would not be drinking water that I just left by the sink for 4 days. The first thing I'm going to do is pour that out and refill it with fresh water. And so, you know, it's kind of those small things that we do day to day that's not really being translated into the offices, whether that's flushing out the lines or having an antimicrobial. Because again, we can have the purest water sitting in a cup, right? But again, that time that it's sitting out for 4 days, it's not going to be pure by the end of those 4 days. And again, that's the same thing with water lines is we can have the best water going into it, whether that's bottled water or from the city. It could be zero CFUs, colony-forming units. But the second we add bacteria into it, we have to have an antimicrobial to kill it off. and fight against that formation of biofilm, biosludge in those water lines. And so I think it really comes down to education that we can do as an industry to really bring that level up. Now, you mentioned our great video. I'll plug it for a second here. If aerosol was red, it does show how far aerosols can actually go in the office. And a patient will come in maybe twice a year, but a staff is in there every single day. And so they're breathing that in. And so we were able, because our founder is still an active dentist, we were able to go into his office and we put food grade dye into a water bottle and we just saw what happened. And so it really is eye-opening as a patient myself to see where that aerosol is going and that we're breathing that in every single time we step into that office.
Yeah, it was pretty eye-opening seeing that video. And I mean, this is totally like off topic here, but yeah, when it comes to learning about bacteria and things like that, I got into making homemade yogurt and working with different strains of bacteria and the fiber and food and the inulin and things like that. But really recognizing what grows, it's under the right conditions and really starting to understand bacteria and molds and things. It's pretty fascinating. And it doesn't take much to have those things start to grow and mature. And I mean, I don't know exactly everything that's taught in dental school. I'm not sure if that is part of it. But one of the things that you're a big advocate for too is really empowering team members also. So not just doctors, but also assistants and hygienists to be able to learn about these things, because even if the doctor is too busy with many of the other things that they're required to do, that perhaps even they could assign a team member to be an advocate for ensuring that the water lines are safe. And when it comes to this kind of education, what's a great route for whether it's a team member or a doctor to take in learning more about this stuff?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right that the office has so much on their plate, whether it's the dentist, the hygienist, the assistant, the office manager. They're cleaning between patients, they're resetting the rooms, they're scheduling patients going out. They just have so much on their plate on a day-to-day basis. And so that was really Dr. Puckett's main goal, is how can we take a lot off the office instead of putting something on them? Like, you need to do another thing. Well, they have a list of a million things they have to do. And so, you know, the dentist is going to be like, hey, we need a water test. You go figure it out and kind of pass that down. Now, some dentists do take responsibility and it's great. Like Dr. Shaw that we both know, she's phenomenal in the fact that she takes charge and says, I actually want to do this because I'm interested in it. And so she's really passionate about that. And so the first thing that we do is we do a lot of podcast, or we're doing CE courses where people can learn about it and just ask questions. And we try to give that platform of just opening up the questions and the problems we're seeing. Now, the nice thing is DentistSafe, again, is connected to a dental office. And so we get to see day in, day out what we can do better as a company to really reduce that task load and what partnerships we can be integrated with to do a better job of that. And so those are probably the main ways that we're showing up to help them, and really based on the data that we're getting back from their results, we'll be able to walk them through what the treatment plan is, what products we would recommend. You know, there's phenomenal products out there that can really fight against this biofilm problem, against the bacteria problem. And so it's just, again, it comes back to the knowledge of what's out there, what's going to work in your office, and what's best for your day-to-day in the office, whether that's tablets or straws or other treatment options that they have.
Yeah, because I think that's the cool thing too, is that once you get into the routine of this, the maintenance of it really isn't that complicated. Like, there's some really awesome products out there that can make it pretty easy for you to maintain having clean water lines. You just have to get into the habit of it and bring up your awareness. Is that right?
Right. And at the end of the day, it really starts from the top leadership and that they're going to advocate to do this, right? And so we found that once the education is there and the leaders in the offices understand the risk that they're taking by not testing, by not treating their water, it trickles down pretty quickly. And everybody realizes, hey, my family comes to this office, or my kids come to this office. And so I want to do everything I can to ensure that we have a safe visit when they walk into that door. And we see that the training starts happen. We'll come into dental groups or different CE courses that are with dentists. And they're just like, man, I never knew about this. I never knew that this could be a problem that could potentially shut down my office. And once they grasp that, then I think it's really clear their next steps are, okay, how can I get more information? How can I get you connected to our staff? Let's implement this pretty quickly, because they get a grasp of what can actually happen if this gets out of control.
Hey, I just want to pop in on today's episode and talk to you about this new GPT I wrote called Boundary Boss GPT. And it's for those moments where you've said yes to something and immediately felt that pit in your stomach, or maybe you've now written 5 drafts of an email because you're trying not to sound mean, even though you're exhausted and you swear you've said this thing so many times to the same person, or you're kind of sick and tired of staying late, taking it on, smoothing things over, and wonder why you're the one that's always burning out. A lot of the conversations that I have on this podcast, we often hear about people hitting these walls of burnout and oftentimes not even knowing what to say. So that's why I built Boundary Boss GPT. It's kind of like having me in your pocket when you're about to respond to a text, email, or team issue, and you just don't know what to say because your people-pleasing brain is completely hijacking you. This is going to help you have clarity, confidence, and self-respect without the guilt, over-explaining, or the drama. Go ahead and grab it in the show notes below. It's totally free, and you're going to love it. Okay, now back to this awesome conversation. Yeah, when you talk about the outbreak, so there was an outbreak in Washington State, is that right?
California,
okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. And so what did that outbreak look like?
Yeah, so there was 72 patients that ended up in the hospital. And it was mainly kids, potentially, I guess, all kids that were infected. And so, you know, a lot of them had to be hospitalized for multiple days. We had bone and teeth loss due to the bacteria that was found in the water lines. We had some outbreaks in Georgia as well. And that's why Georgia kind of took that stance. We got to do something about it. There was 3 different outbreaks in Georgia that happened. And so, you know, this is not an isolated instance. And I believe the hardest thing is the correlation factor here. Some of these cases had 125 days later, the symptoms started showing up. And so you see that and say, okay, what have I done in the last 25 days or 125 days, right? Like, I've been on the cruise, I've been in the pool, I went to, you know, showers and all this different stuff. I went to the grocery store and the little misters turned on beside the produce, right? And I'm breathing that in. Those are all places that we can get bacteria aerosoled and breathing that in and can also cause damage to us. And so the correlation factor back to the dental offices are kind of the hardest point on all this. But I think their awareness is becoming more and more great. And dentists are really taking charge of what they need to do. And once they understand that and they start testing, you'll see this decrease of CFU counts. Like, if an office has 25,000 CFUs and they really stay on top of it, you'll see a trend going down pretty quickly as they get on top of it and as they're ensuring that they're doing proper protocols and things like that in the office.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So you might have an issue from the water lines, but you might not be able to tell because kind of the incubation period or something, or the impact of it right. Can take quite a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, bacteria can stay dormant in your body, but once they kick up, I mean, E. coli can double every 30 minutes. So you can imagine how out of control that can really get in your body. And we're dealing with Legionella, microabscesses, and Mycobacterium and Pseudomonas, all these different bacteria that we don't talk too much about, but are all potential in the water lines. Again, I want to reiterate that it's not an isolated case just happening in California or just happening in Georgia or just happening in Virginia. Like, there's a lot more cases that potentially could be out there that we're not correlating back to the actual problem, which could be these dental unit water lines. And so That's really why we're so passionate about it and why Dr. Puckett is so passionate about it. To bring it way back, he actually founded a water testing lab that was specific about EPA water testing and for homes and things like that. And he started testing his own water pretty early into the 2000s. And he actually failed one of his water lines. And he said, oh my goodness, like, if I think I'm doing everything right, what about my colleagues that have no idea what this is? And now he was able to get on top of that. And I can tell you that he has probably one of the best or cleanest lines in the industry. Obviously, he's testing all the time. So it just goes to show that that knowledge is really powerful, that once you have that, then you can take action and move forward and really show that from the top. The leadership portion of it is, again, he saw the problem and he was able to then take action and move forward with his office to ensure that he has a safe environment.
So someone might be hearing this and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know where to start. Like, one more thing that our office needs to do. What would you suggest as the best next steps to get started? And is it really as complicated as it might sound?
Yeah, I would say the next step is just see what's in your water. Just test, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you already have something in place, like a SOP, standard operating procedure, for your water lines, you're above and beyond most offices at this point, right? But the question is it actually working? And so a lot of times people will ask us, well, what's the best thing for my office to do? And it's like, I don't know. I got to look at the data. I think a lot of times our industry loves to just give answers. If you noticed about ChatGPT now, it's like, it's going to give you an answer no matter what. And so we want to make sure that the data is what's driving those answers. And so before we do that, before we generate or tell them what products we would advise, it's, hey, what was your last results? When was the last time you shocked? Let's look at all the data and then we'll be able to move forward. And so really the baseline is just start testing. And then once we're able to have that, we'll be able to consult with you to ensure that you know what your next steps are. Again, there's no conflict of interest. I don't want to turn it into a DentistSafe thing. There's great companies out there that do testing that are able to advise you on different things. And so there's a wonderful resources out there. I would say ADS, Association of Dental Safety, is a great organization that they should tune into. They're talking about water lines all the time, dental unit water lines, and they're putting out a lot of papers and what protocols you should do. And so I would definitely tune into them, which is a non-biased organization, to get your information.
Yeah. And just to reiterate too, I mean, this is something a team member can really own and take on also. And I know you're a big advocate for that. Obviously it starts from the top, like the leadership has to support this, otherwise it won't really go anywhere. But this is something that even a lead assistant or whomever is in charge of infection control in your office can really oversee and implement. And it sounds like y'all make it pretty easy on figuring out protocol and the systems and keeping the lines clean.
Yeah, we love to see champions in the office, a waterline champion. We see the success rate going up pretty high if someone is really taking ownership over this, whether that's the office manager or hygienist or assistant, if they're really going after this problem, we see the success rate going through the roof. And so you don't have to be the dentist. You don't have to be even the office manager. A lot of times, Dr. Puckett will tell us that if someone comes to him, whether his hygienist, assistant's office, and say, hey, I've been doing some research and I've noticed this might be a weak spot in our office, can I do some research and bring that back to you and we make a decision? And that's a great entry line into that, because what you're showing to that leader is that you are going above and beyond probably your job description to make his or her practice a lot better and safer. And so if you're going into a job review or you're going into the conversation of a bonus or something like that, it's a great way to kind of walk into that and say, listen, you know, I'm going above and beyond. I want to ensure that my job is stable, because if we close down because we have water lines or we get sued or something happens, like, I want to ensure that I did everything I could on the front end of that. And so, you know, that's a great opportunity for someone in the office to take that initiative and step up and say, hey, I'm going to champion water lines and take that off everybody else's plate, so they don't even have to worry about it. So like Georgia, for example, they have to test quarterly. And so once every 3 months, someone has to collect every water sample in every one of the operatories and either send it off or do it in the office and record the information and keep all the record keeping. And so having one person dedicated to that really helps the office.
Yeah. I see that. So Landon, how did you get involved in this stuff? So I know you started working at DentistSafe straight out of college. How did you end up here?
So it was kind of a crazy story. Dr. Puckett is actually my childhood dentist. And so we were connected. His kids went to my high school that I went to. And so I was jumping on a trampoline and my dad double bounced us. And my sister went down and I went up into a Superman pose. And I landed canine to canine on my sister's knee and they went straight back. So my dentist at the time was not available. And so we were connected with Dr. Puckett through church and school. And so we called him. He was actually in a movie. And he's like, "Hey, I can meet you after the movie." Left the movie. We met at the office at like 7:30 at night. And he was able to stabilize things for me. And so we ended up switching to Dr. Puckett. And so I kind of grew up with him after college. He said, "Hey, I'm starting this company. It's kind of running. I have this idea," because he was able to show the data based on the other water testing company that he had. And so I started at DentaSafe, started working there. And it really kind of was eye-opening after getting into this of how much of an opportunity there is, but also how limited the testing market is right now. And so we were early adopters into it. So that was kind of the start of my career in dentistry.
Yeah, and you've been there since. That's super cool. Yeah, and what's your favorite part about being in the dental industry?
I would say the community. I find that dental community is so small, but a lot of times very welcoming. You talk about Steve, like he's been in the industry for a good long while, and we're able to talk on such a inviting level and introducing me to people and connecting me and how we met just over at Dykema, sitting at a table after everybody left and we're eating lunch and we're able to connect. And you've been on RCE course, now I'm on your podcast. And so the community is so welcoming and inviting, and I just find that everybody's wanting to help everyone. There's, no need for the selfishness of like, "Oh, I want to keep my thing here and XYZ." But again, everybody's here to help. And so I would say that's probably one of my most favorite things about dentistry and DentaSafe specific is the ability to really help people. And then we'll come back to safety and knowledge, right? Is we're ensuring that someone's walking into a safe dental visit. And so those are the two main things I would say about dentistry and DentaSafe specific.
That's awesome. I love that. I think you're awesome. I mean, you're my event buddy, as you know, and it's always fun hanging out with you when we're in the same spaces together. And I think you're super fun. You also, like I love to share with everybody, is you also fly planes and you're a beekeeper and you're a modern day Renaissance man in a lot of ways. And so there's so much about you that I think is super interesting. And then you also have this passion for, infection control and safety in dental offices. You're also an IT wizard, so you know a lot about those types of things. So DentaSafe is lucky to have you, that's for sure. And the dental industry is lucky to have you and you're a world of information, which is super fun. And I'm excited that people are learning more about this stuff because it is so important. And I like that anyone on the team can really own this and take that initiative. And I like how you really gave some great suggestions on how to even get that started. And yeah, I mean, thank you so much for being on. This was super fun. And I guess what would be a suggestion that you would have for somebody who's, I know you said just get your water tested and just start there, but how would they even go about getting their water tested? What would be the next step to even test their water? Where would they find something to do that?
Yeah, so you can go to dentistsafe.com is a great resource for you. It walks you through the whole process of why testing is important, what to test specifically, methods, and then after that, the resources that we can provide after getting that data. Appreciate dropping the beekeeping. We're going into beekeeping season, which is great here in North Carolina. Love the honey. But back to the serious note, I think, the resources on DentaSafe, the videos that you can watch, that will really give you a good foundation. Our last CE course that you were on and helped us out and led our great panelist on is a wealth of information. They really dove deep into how each team member can be effective in the dental office and what it takes from the leadership to the hygienist to the assistants to the office managers, what they can do to really step up and step out for advocating water testing and what that looks like. And so those would be probably the best resources to jump into if you're just getting into water testing.
Yeah. And I want to remind people too, like with the aerosol stuff, it's not just impacting patients. I mean, it's impacting you as an employee and a team member and your entire team, because if there are dirty water lines like that, like it, you're experiencing that too. So I would love to thank everyone's advocating for the health of their patient. And I also know there's always exceptions to every rule. So even if you're doubting the need for this kind of thing, if you care about your own health and wellness, it's something important to consider too. So thank you so much, Landon. You're the best. And I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you having me. I look forward to seeing you soon in person and hopefully more to come on our content together.
You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices, it's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.